Scorpions Avenue.
But enough about your weight.
I will not be fat shamed on my own podcast.
Honestly, enough about my weight. I've been eating a lot, at least recently.
You're eating right now, but you're eating something healthy.
I'm having an organic banana.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, of the Puerto Rican variety.
Did they taste bad? Sometimes organic has a noticeable
organic is
different
bullshit.
Taste.
It's all bullshit.
Is it really?
It's all weasel words, and it's all, they just slap organic, or they, like, eggs. I went to this deep dive on YouTube. I've been deep diving a lot recently about eggs. Like, you go to the supermarket, and you see cage-free, pasture-raised, farm-raised, organic, and a lot of it is just, it's such bullshit. It's such bullshit just to get you to pay $8 for, and you're getting literally the same quality as something that you would pay $3 for. It's all ridiculous.
Right. Well, I mean, I guess you could say that if the taste was so improved that you could tell that this chicken was not raised in a cage, as in a cage-free, you know, hen or something like that. But I mean, of course, there's other reasons to do it besides the taste, like the cruelty or whatever. I'm not a vegetarian. Everyone in my family is a vegetarian but me. And I'm still rebelling at my late age against my family. But, I mean, there's obvious health benefits to it, and there are cruelty benefits.
Yeah, and the idea is that if you eat pasture-raised chickens, then they're not the ones that are cooped up in the cages. But oftentimes, yes, they're pasture-raised, but it's still a factory farm. So, yeah, they're raised in the pasture, roaming around, but they're still, like, a lot of times pumped with the same antibiotics
and
GMOs, like other things. So, yeah, hormones, GMOs.
Trans chicken.
You might eat a pasture-raised chicken, but it still has all that nastiness growing inside of it. So it's like, girl, what's the point?
Well, I did see a documentary years ago about how organic foods were. This was around the time that there was that documentary about McDonald's that showed all of the bad stuff. And so, you know, people were looking into organic foods, and I did see one documentary warning that the big labels that sell, you know, the non-organic food, but right, all of that, that they are now getting into the organic business, which means that, you know, prices are higher and standards are lower because it's like, you know, it's like for something to be organic, you got to follow these certain rules like kosher.
Right. And, you know, and America just does not have that many checks and balances when it comes to the Food and Drug Administration. Yeah, we have the FDA, but you go to places like the UK and when you eat meat, when I eat a burger in the UK, yeah, it's not as flavorful because they don't know how to season their food. But the quality of food, maybe it might just be my mind and all the mental gymnastics going on in there, but it just tastes like better meat. Like a burger at McDonald's in the UK, I'm like, this tastes good. In America, I'm like, oh God, what am I putting down my fucking throat today?
You go to England to eat at McDonald's? Their food is so bad that you wind up at McDonald's.
Yeah, my favorite restaurants in the UK are McDonald's and Pizza Hut. The Pizza Hut in the UK and the KFC. Oh, and another point, the KFCs in the Caribbean, like in Jamaica, like in St. Lucia, you can ask anyone who has gone to the KFCs in the islands. They're so fucking good, bitch. The KFC in St. Lucia, I'm telling you, Lady Bunny, it is such good chicken. I know the Colonel has 11 herbs and spices, bitch. He got 13 in St. Lucia, okay? Them two extra spices really turn it up. It's like so good.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm old friends with the Colonel. I like their coleslaw.
You are the Colonel. I'm looking at him right now.
I am the Colonel, okay? Yeah, I'm the Colonel. I'm Ben Franklin. I'm Quaker Oats guy. Who else did they say that I look like? Since everybody wants to know, a Dumb and Dumber, was it Dumber or Dumb?
Do you remember our first podcast when we did the lives, whatever, on this? You were so, well, we were figuring it out. And there was a point we were in the stereo and people could see you and they're like, oh my God, Lady Buddy, look at you. And you like, you were gagging at people while we were looking at you during the podcast. It was very funny to me.
Well, how do you know I don't understand any app on my phone? I like appetizers. Apps I have no use for.
What is your favorite fast food place to go to, Lady Bunny?
I do like KFC because I like the coleslaw. And if you're getting mashed potatoes, look, I don't mind eating a greasy burger from time to time, but to have it with the fries or something like that, you know, it's like, it's a lot. But, you know, KFC is still fried, but if you have coleslaw,
like,
at least
you're from the South and you like KFC over Popeyes? Popeyes is where it's at. Really?
I used to work at Popeyes.
Oh, dude, really?
In Atlanta.
Well, why you were friends with RuPaul?
That was while I was friends with RuPaul.
Did he work at Popeyes too?
No.
Okay, that seems a little racially charged if they asked him to work there. Yeah, but so you like KFC over Popeyes. Okay, Burger King or McDonald's?
I do adore the Whopper. Whopper. I like both. I love McDonald's ice cream. I love McDonald's fish sandwich, but you have to ask them now to put the lettuce on it.
Oh,
that's how cheesy they
are. I would
are.
Never get a fish sandwich from McDonald's. That sounds crazy.
Oh no, they're good. And you know what? McDonald's coffee is good, honey. That's I remember back. So McDonald's was even less health conscious when I was young, and those apple pies were fried. And finally, the government, you know,
amazing.
Came out and said, you know, we just can't. There were so many articles about it. I think that McDonald's just said we're going to bake these from now on because it was like, wow, you've just eaten hamburger fries. And now you're having this fried dessert?
I have not had McDonald's in so long, but I do love a McDonald's apple pie. McDonald's, let me tell you something. This is what you do, okay? This is for the real fatties out there. You get your burger from Burger King, your fries from McDonald's, your chicken nuggets from Wendy's. If you're feeling a little extra spicy, you go over to a Checkers or Rally's and get extra fries there. That is the ultimate fast food meal. And then you can also double back at McDonald's and get the apple pie too, because apple pies are popping. So you got to stop at all four of those places if you want a complete balanced meal.
And try the apple pie with the ice cream at McDonald's.
Oh, yes,
bitch. I like Chipotle.
Chipotle.
Lay. Oh, sorry. I'm white.
You know, they just started putting Chipotle. Well, not just. I want to say, like, only since 2019, late 2019, is when they brought Chipotle to the UK. And I was like, oh, my God, this is... It took them a little while to figure it out. But, like, after, like, because I was there, like, when it first came. And after, like, a month or two, I was like, oh, okay, this is popping. But Chipotle is a staple in America. We love Chipotle over here.
Well, you know, I've realized from being in England off and on that most people... you know, don't love spicy food there. It's just like, you know, like I would go and eat with my friend and, you know, we'd eat at a Thai place and she was like, oh, no, no, no. You know, if she tasted something, it's just a
cultural thing.
You and I would think their food has less taste and it certainly has less spices and it's probably also less fried because, honey, anything's good right out of a deep fryer. We all know that. Well, They have deep fried Snickers there and deep fried beans.
What you just deep fried what?
Snickers, the candy bar.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. My God. She's trying to start a race war on a drag podcast.
On a drag podcast. There's another drag podcast was birthed last week, Lady Bunny.
Oh, which was that?
Hall and Closet. Jada Essence Hall and Heidi and Closet from season 12. The winner of season 12, Miss Congeniality from season 12. They just started a podcast.
Well, I think Jada's a lot of fun. I worked with her only once.
Jada's a lot of fun. Yeah, she's a lot of fun. Jada's a riot. She has a lot of energy, and she always looks so good. And she's
also a great performer, like old school.
Old school performer girl. Heidi's a lot of. I really worked with Heidi this past Christmas on the Christmas tour, and Heidi's great too. She's very lovely, and good luck to them on podcasting. I like to talk. You definitely like to talk. So we are definitely. podcasting. And Jada likes to talk a lot too. So I think Jada will find success in podcasting for sure.
Well, maybe they will join us on ours to promo it.
That'd be fun. Now, a little cross promo.
Did you watch the was it the reunion of Drag Race season 14?
I did not watch. I saw some pictures of it. I did not watch the whole thing, no.
Well,
why did you? You haven't watched the whole season.
I don't have that channel. I don't have a TV, but I see little clips online. And let me tell you, honey, that fucking cornbread coming out in that outfit that mimicked Willow Pill's entrance outfit. With rhinestones all over it that said ankle instead of angle. Of course, some of my evil friends, when I posted it, said she mean cankle. I did have to post that on Instagram. It was so cute, and she
I saw made you posted that
comment. She seems like she's fun, and her attitude walking in when she was like patting her hair, I was dying for that little.
Well,
clip.
Out.com just put an article about her. She's quitting. Like she said she's done with drag. She's like, she had her time on RuPaul's Drag Race. She does not plan to come back to the show. And in 3 years, she wants to be done with drag altogether. She was like, I'm going to focus on my music and my acting, my music theater and my acting career. So I was like, work, work. I was like, bitch, they have bitches who have been in this game for a long time. Lady Bunny. The Biancas, the Bobs, to each his own. If you don't want to be a drag queen anymore and that's not like suiting you, then go off. But I mean, I think that people will, the newer girls will find that it's harder to break into the industry than they think. They think that now, obviously, you're the hot thing. You're the big thing right now, right? You were just on season 14. Everybody fucking loves her. She's so funny. She has so much personality. She's so effervescent. But they will find that it is harder to break in than they think it is, in my opinion. Yeah. But who am I? What do you think, Bun?
I don't know Cornbread at all, and I didn't.
I don't know her either. I met her. I've never met her. I've seen her perform like twice. I've never even spoken to her.
What kind of stuff does she do? Which on stage?
Like for example, when I saw her at Mickey's WeHo, that Monday Night Drag Review show that Morgan or Raven hosts. Have you ever been there?
I've been there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and she did Push the Button from The Color Purple, a lip sync of it, and it was fun. She did like she had like fun little isms of hers, I'm guessing, in the number, and it was fun. So that's like I don't know if that means that that's all in her repertoire. I don't know what the span of her, like does she do the kicks and the flips and the, I don't know. Mm-hmm. But I saw her, she did Push the Button, she had a gown on, and it was from The Color Purple, the revival musical, which honestly, the era of the song a queen does tells you a lot about them, right? Like when I would do Push the Button, I would do from the original Broadway recording, but she was doing it from the revival. So that just tells you, in my opinion, it's something so small, but it tells you a lot about that queen.
Well, honey, if I were ever to lip sync to And I'm telling you, it would not be Jennifer Hudson's version,
Jennifer
even
Holiday.
Though I love her. I love, love, love Jennifer Hudson. I would not be doing her version.
Yeah, you do the holiday version. But yeah, so but what do you think about that? Like, Cornbread being like, I'm quitting drag. Well, she didn't say I'm quitting drag. Well, the article you want to say is quitting drag. She's stopping drag after 3 years.
Okay, well, listen, she's also young, and she's also trans.
30.
Well, to me, that's half my age. So, yeah, that's young.
Yeah, I'm agreeing, bitch. I'm only 32. I'm young, too.
Okay. I mean, sometimes young people or younger people say rash things, and may we always have the space for them to say them because they're young. And that's when you say that shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, right. I don't know her. I don't know if fame is filling her head. It must feel wonderful to not know what you're all about, then realize that you're trans and get this right. big platform. And, you know, Trixie said a couple years ago that she might pack in the drag and do some, you know, more serious music stuff out of drag. So, you know, it's sometimes, let me tell you this from an old drag queen, sometimes you fucking get tired of that wig, okay? Let me tell you, you don't want to put that fucking wig back on. And that's what's going to mm-hmm. make them cheer. And that's what's going to make them clap. And that's what's going to pay your rent. But you don't always, you don't always want to.
I know.
Not like when you first got your first style wig and you sat for an hour with no makeup, just prissing around the room, looking in the mirror. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe she's also because it's a transition. And listen, this is all guessing. I'd love to have her on the podcast, you know, to talk about it. But because, you know, I don't know what's in her mind. Maybe she, now that she's asserting herself as a woman, which she has not mm-hmm. done until, wasn't it the cast of this, the set of this show?
I feel.
The filming?
Yeah, it happened like, yeah, I don't remember.
I know she said Carrie helped her out and was like a big yeah. sister and answered questions and whatnot. So she is something different now, and there used to be some trans performers on the drag scene. So while in Atlanta in the 80s, there always were. But you know, sometimes they would want to get married and to a straight guy and skip off the drag scene where they were worshipped as goddesses, and they didn't mm-hmm. want to be out in gay bars anymore because they had transitioned into a woman. So, you know, some like to stay with their gay friends. I saw one of those queens that was like the best known queens on a bicycle down by the piers. And I said, hey, and I called out her drag name because she was so beautiful when I was like 20, 21 years old. And it was just like transported mm-hmm. me back to that moment. Well, she looked away and kept on riding because she was in a headspace that was, I'm now this person with a different name. Mm-hmm. I'm not trying to connect the dots with my Atlanta past where I was a lip sync performer. So you know what? It's like, you see what I mean? Maybe she feels like
yeah.
as a woman, she knows where she is. And she doesn't, she sees the drag and the big wigs as something that is, she can do, but maybe not, maybe wants to be without it also. I don't know.
And, you know, I think there may be some correlation between transitioning and that, because Aja went through a similar thing. Aja, you know, went through the same way. They wanted to pursue a musical career, and then but they were also figuring out their gender identity. Mm-hmm. And Aja kind of stopped working a bit. She was like, "I'm done with drag." And then she realized that she was trans,
right?
And she wanted to transition to be a woman. And then after that, she's like, I still want to do drag. Because I think there may be, you know, and again, I'm not a trans woman, so I can't speak for that experience. But I think there may be something in that where you're like, I don't want people to see me as this clown woman.
Right.
You know, I don't want to see, I want people to see me as just a woman.
Exactly.
And not that. And then, you know, and then as you grow older, you're like, bitch, I can do whatever I want. I can be whatever I want. And you can find your way back. So who knows what Cornbread's end goal will be. But, you know, for this time, she's like, bitch, 3 years and I'm done with this shit.
Yeah. Well, I mean, listen, no one knows where their career in show business will take them.
Who
but
knows,
I guess
right?
It's good to have goals. I mean, you know, I guess that's
it's good. Just good to have a hole.
Okay. Well, I want to just bring this up because, you know, honey, I'm not Drag Race's biggest fans. I'm old friends with Rue, but I saw two articles in Out Magazine within the last month and a half, talking about how three contestants who were drag queens, Willow, is it Jasmine and Bosco, came out as trans. Is that the uh-huh. correct three?
Yes, okay. Those came out as trans on the show. However, well, after the since the show,
okay,
and Carrie Colby and Cornbread were trans before they were on the show.
We're already okay. So yeah, I would suggest that, especially with the last All-Stars being won by a trans woman and Gottmik being on the season before, who is a trans man who does drag. Mm-hmm. I would like to suggest something. And you know I don't lick RuPaul's ass, but honey, I don't see Ru as transphobic. And for a while, he was the ultimate transphobe. Damn. And those Out magazine articles mm-hmm. were acting like, and I get it. If you think that there's an injustice, sometimes you go to the person who is in your community because you think you can reach them. And you're, right. you know, if you're horrified into thinking that Ru is being evil to trans women, and he did make a few comments, you know, some which did upset some trans women and not other trans women. But yeah. you know, like this, the drag race is not the Olympics, or you can't take special, you know, drugs likening hormones to steroids or drug enhancement performance thing. I don't remember the quote, but it rubbed people the wrong way. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, there's different levels of offenses. And I do not believe, having lived in Atlanta with RuPaul and in New York in the highest area of trans escorting, you know, that Ru has mm-hmm. nothing but love for trans people when he meets them in real life. Unlike a Republican, unlike a Christian, he is not trying to take away their rights to get health care. He's not trying to take away their right. In fact, he's actively celebrating their lingo, you know, a lot of which comes from Paris is Burning on every show. I mean, I get people's frustration, and I certainly understand that trans people always were part of the drag scene, a huge part of the drag scene. One of the reasons why I wanted to get involved with it, and my favorite queen when I learned about drag was from Chattanooga, Tennessee, a Black trans woman named Tasha Khan, who I was obsessed with. Miss Tasha Khan, Chattanooga's own bubbling brown sugar, or Chattanooga's own 20th Century Fox, who I'm still in touch with to this day. But I think I would have gotten over those like 5 years, 6 years. Hence, if Ru had any issues with trans people who we would see in clubs yeah. and, you know, have fun with, you know, get to
girl,
know.
When all that stuff came out about RuPaul, I knew that there's no way that RuPaul is a transphobe. Did Ru maybe have said something that was a little transphobic in what he said in that magazine? He didn't realize it, sure. But to put a blanket statement and say RuPaul is transphobic, he hates trans people. People go as far as to say that he is an endanger. He's a threat to trans people. I'm like, that is insane. There is this video on TikTok of Ru, I think Georges, maybe Georges, I don't know, Nelson Sullivan, and a bunch of people up at the Jane Hotel. Is that where Ru used to live? Used to live on top of the Jane Hotel?
Yeah, we did, but Georges wasn't up there because he wasn't born.
Georges? Really?
The queen on...
Like Ru's husband?
I thought you were talking about Georges on this episode of
No,
of Drag Race.
Ru's husband.
Oh, Trey?
No, Ru's husband.
No.
George.
Oh, George wasn't around back then.
He wasn't?
No.
Oh, it was a tall-ass white man that was taller than RuPaul.
They hadn't met back then.
Okay. Well, it was a bunch of y'all on top of the Jane Hotel, and there were trans women there, and et cetera. And I'm like, the people just, like, say these things. I'm like, you just can't say that. But again, but what I admire about RuPaul is RuPaul has not paid that shit any mind. He's like, y'all can say what you want, bitch. I know that I'm not a transphobe. I know my history and my career in the community. So you can say what you want. It's literally not true. And I honestly need to learn how to do that more. And just let people just say what they want, because I just know it is foundationally not true.
So can Ru, as you and I said, say something that's transphobic and that hurts feelings and be redeemable now that his show is a hotbed of, you know, three trans contestants coming out on the show? You know, far from two trans yeah. contestants already on there.
Not a hotbed.
Yes. I didn't say a waterbed.
I know. It just, the connotation of a hotbed just sounds so, like, negative.
Well, not if you're hot, Monet.
No, I agree. Listen, in 2022, I know I have said things that are transphobic. This is, and that, you know, I mean, just living in this life, I'm sure I have said I have used transphobic language or said something transphobic and not being aware that I did, unless someone has brought it up to me. And if RuPaul is his show is fostering these young people to understand that their queer identity and come in touch with who they are, I think that that does, but needing to be redeemed denotes that he did something to transgress. I mean, I guess if you said something transphobic that hurt someone's feelings, then you can need to be redeemed from that, sure. But yeah, I think so.
In the same way that not all drag queens see eye to eye on every issue, I have a friend who is a trans escort. And she was telling me that she's met Rue. She used to live in New York. She said, you know, a friend of Jimmy James and mine. And she said, Mom? No. I said, friend. She said that she, if when she saw Rue again, she was going to tell him she wished that he would use she male, because that term was developed by her manager when she was doing porn. And it was a marketing thing to say you're neither male nor female, because these shots were big titties, gorgeous face, and a rather enlarged clitoris, shall we say, with testicles. So she, you know, like I mean, that didn't bother her, you know, one bit. And, you know, I listen, let me tell you how dumb Hollywood and mainstream audiences can be. Or what Hollywood producers think they're as dumb as. In the movie Disclosure, which is about trans...
Laverne Cox's
different representations in film and TV over the years, and how negative ones are leading to violence, which I'm not sure that the film proved. But at any rate, Candace Kane is on there. And, you know, Candace is a New York City performer. She was also Miss Continental. She was then the actress on, what is it, Bloody Sexy Money, and had that kiss with Alec Baldwin.
Blood Sex Money. Yeah.
And you just described my G-string.
Oh, Dirty Sexy Money.
Okay, that's your G-string. Mine's bloody because I'm so tight.
Mine is Dirty, Sexy, Money, and full of cum. But that's so you,
for those that don't know Candace Kane, C-A-Y-N, look her up. She is a goddess. Like, so gorgeous, really, with a long mane of, like, angelic auburn hair. It's like, she's a great dancer and just totally effervescent.
Kick her face.
Yes. Yeah. But so when she went on to read for one show, because she looks and sounds exactly like a woman, they had her, they dropped her voice digitally to make it lower so that she, who's taken steps from nose job to hormone therapy to whatever, to look exactly like a woman and is doing it like nobody's business as an extremely gorgeous woman, has got to sound with a man's voice. Can you imagine? That's like misgendering by cast. I mean, the editing. I mean, it's just like awful. You know, so the thing is, the explanation that I read, the reason why Rue didn't want, or not Rue, but the producers or whoever made the decision, didn't want trans on the first few, and there were always ones like what Miss Queen B or Jiggly or whoever that kind of snuck in, and you, Carmen,
Monica Beverly
Hills.
Yeah,
you kind of knew, you know, but it wasn't out in the open. But it's, do you see what I'm saying? Because I don't.
I don't see what you're saying. I think it just really
stung. I am. It's 4:20 at 2:40, whatever. But it was.
You should listen to your post you posted earlier. 4:20. Fuck the weed. Do cocaine, girl. Just do some risk of cocaine.
Do you know,
buddy,
Facebook banned me for that for 30 days? It's a picture of Patsy.
Today?
Is it Adina or Patsy? That's Patsy from AbFab.
Oh yeah, it's Patsy from AbFab. Yeah, the one with the tall blonde hair.
Her character was always a drunk coke mess. And, you know, she's saying, what was it again, honey? I don't even know.
Let me log on to the old Lady Bunny Instagram and tell you.
And no, I had to take it off because Facebook and Instagram are the same owners. And, you know, I just said, they gave me some warning, like, you can't promote drugs. I'm like, honey, this is a TV character playing a mess and it hasn't even been on for 20 years. You think I'm using this to sell drugs? Facebook needs to have as many people who look into claims as they do who take you down, because they don't.
Is it on your...
It's on my Twitter.
Your Twitter?
It just says, and if I see another 420 post, be adults and...
It says another 420 post, do cocaine and be an adult.
And it has Patsy's, which is actually...
Yes, why don't you do that?
Well, I think actually I'm such an adult that I might want to avoid cocaine and anything else that damages the heart, which is not to say that my jaw won't ever be grinding again. But hopefully when I'm locked lips with you, I want to come to L.A. Cocaine is very L.A. I want to, oh, yes.
Is it?
I want to.
They say cocaine is L.A. Well, weed and cocaine are L.A. And they say that ketamine is New York. What? And all people also say heroin is New York.
Yeah,
is it?
In the East Village, Connecticut,
like
Lower East Side. Like,
so that means that a lot of people do those type of drugs in New York. Ketamine and heroin.
I don't
heroin.
Know about ketamine. I've heard of its resurgence, but not people in my circle. But no, New York is definitely...
People in your circle do heroin.
Well, I came up in the East Village. The club was run by heroin addicts. Two heroin addicts.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That is wild to me. Girl, when I see people do heroin, when I see people do it. When I watched the Billie Holiday movie on Hulu, and like watching her, also back then the needles were so thick, they're like as big as your fucking finger.
Oh,
wow. I'm watching her like shoot up heroin. I'm like, that just seems insane
when
to
I see those,
intravenously inject drugs into your body. That seems wild.
When I see
to
those
me.
Big needles, I just open my legs and think, oh, not in the arm, in the... Ooh, yeah, no.
Oh my God.
So, well, I mean, also, I think for a lot of people, heroin is addictive. So it's you don't just do it once or twice. You either do it or you don't. So,
I don't have an addictive personality. I've tried cigarettes. You know, I've done a mushroom. I've done an acid, and I've never really
ecstasy.
I never felt. Yeah, I've done a Molly. I done a Molly, and I'm like, I did it like once, and I was like, okay, I was like, yeah, it was fun, but I'm not like, ooh, I need my next Molly now, you know?
Okay, well, I won't offer you any of these free, extremely strong ones.
I mean, what do you want some?
Oh yeah, you're not looking for your next one, but you are. Speaking of Drag Race, of course, the All Stars 7, is it? Cast. And it's the
All Stars
7. And you're in it. So is this a cheerful period, a period where you finally get to see your hard work pay off? Is it a period where you are nervous about how things will go? What's the tea?
You know, I'm really excited. You know, we filmed this about a year ago, and it was a really fun season of Drag Race to do. Yeah, this is always the time you're excited about it. Like we're doing all this really fun press stuff, and I just can't wait to like see it. It was such a good time to film, to be honest. It wasn't like season 10 of All Stars 4 where I was like fucking like stressed the fuck out like every day, like going crazy. This was way more fun. And, you know, everyone here has won. So the stress of like thinking you're gonna embarrass yourself was the only thing. Like these are all people who like Shea Coulee, who did so good at her snatch game, or Trinity, who's a really good designer, or Jinx, who's a really good fucking actress. You know what I mean? It's like you're worried about that. Like these bitches are really good. Other than that, it was like a lot of fun. I'm excited to see it. Are you gonna watch
it?
You have a lot of friends.
Give me your password and I'll watch it. No, listen. So I do have a lot of friends. This is the first one that I'd want to see because I do know everybody up there. So it's all winners, and then you and Trinity, the half winners.
Yeah, a half winner got more money than you, bitch.
Well,
I want more money than you.
Listen, what is this article that I saw in Shit Stirring Out magazine about? And it was a picture of Bob looking kind of like, what? Saying that he didn't get the call for this winner's circle season.
Yeah, you know, I mean, at this point, they have so many winners. They can't put literally every winner in it. So, but he's one that they did not contact. And you know, Bob, first of all, Bob and Alaska are two queens. They are obsessed with Drag Race. Bob and Alaska are like Drag Race encyclopedias. They know every fucking thing. Who won the mini challenge on episode 7 of season 9? They know they are obsessed with Drag Race. They even know Drag Race. So when you have a winter season, you would think that you would see both of them, if not one of them, if not both of them, on the show because they love Drag Race so much. So I think that's what the article was pointing at more, is that Bob is obsessed with Drag Race. So the fact of having, and also people really want to see me and him compete on the show together. Obviously, we have the podcast Sibling Rivalry, and we have this sibling thing between us, and people really want to see us interact on the show together. Mm-hmm. Especially after we have podcasts that critique and view it. So I think that's what they're talking about more. So, and just shocked that he wasn't asked, but they can't ask everyone.
Yeah, I'm
okay. There are 13 regular seasons. There were 6 All Stars. That's already 19. And you have all the international winners. That's like what, another fucking 12. 15, that's like over like 30 something people. Like they can't ask everyone. I'm sure there'll be a season 2 or season 3 of it, and they'll ask more people.
Well, it's also, you know, I saw so many people tweeting, I'm not watching if Violet isn't on there, or if, you know, how could they skip this queen, that queen, and that queen? And it's just like, honey, you love this show. You know what? You know, are you a baby? I mean, that seems to be the mentality sometimes. Right. I mean, you know, you love the show. It's what, 14 queens that won the damn show. If you don't have fond memories of, you know, some or most of them, then, you know, I mean, it's just so, you know, what do they think they're going to do? See that tweet and reshoot the season with Violet? Anyway, I just wanted to know how that was. Is there like a, when does it open? Because are there weeks off before this? I mean, what the season? When does it debut?
May 20th. The first episode is May 20th, and it's coming out on Paramount Plus. It's not on VH1. It's on Paramount Plus digitally. So, and they're dropping the first 2 episodes on May 20th. So you can watch it whenever.
The first 2 must really be bad.
First episode. Yeah, they said that. That's public knowledge.
Well, yeah. We certainly would never want to use this podcast, Monet, to ramp up.
But also, and also, people think that Viacom and whatever, that they're giving us into any information that we get, the public knows. They do not tell us any information that is not out in the universe.
Well, that's why I'm not asking you any specific questions, because I know that has yet to air, and we'll all see it when we see it.
Well, do you really want a little inside tea? Well, we do drag on the series.
Oh my God.
Yes.
So, because milk does not make an appearance.
Yeah, we put on makeup and wear wigs.
Now, is there a trans performer?
Oh
my God, Rue is back to her transphobic self. It didn't take long. Oh my God.
That's not true. Trinity the Tuck has recently come out as trans, or on the trans spectrum.
Well, of course she is. I mean, look at her.
Right? I was saying, Trinity is like all of the Southern queens I know. Like, she has her body done. She has, like, she has ass. She has an ass. Trinity is just, and if you ever hung around Trinity, all Trinity is missing is just boobs, okay? But Trinity is living her authentic self. So that was a problem. I was as soon as she put that out, I was like, girl, you bitch. I was like, bitch, you better work.
There are some, there's some video where they're touching up her nose, and I don't know if it's a filter, but it looks like she got a great nose job. I mean, she already had a nose job, but it looks fixed. She looked beautiful. Trinity's look is always together.
Did she recently have? Oh yeah, Trinity always. She's professional. She always looks good. Have you worked with Trinity
a
bunch?
Yes, we worked on the Murray and Peter tours.
Oh, that's when you guys fucked the first time. Oh.
Yes, yes, because Trinity.
Are you embarrassed?
I think she would be more than I. I'm desperate. Desperate.
Girl, she is too.
I'm jacking off here talking to you. And my clitty cock is engorged.
Oh, my God. Not your clitty cock.
And I've been performing. I'm doing a show called Unmasked and Unfiltered at Laurie Beachman Theater. It was five shows around Easter. An Easter weekend, and then we added two more shows because a lot of them sold out. So that's with this weekend, Friday and Saturday at Laurie Beachman Theater. Tickets at spincyclenyc.com. And it's an hour of filth. It's just crazy shit. Some of it from my UK tours. Everything from Lizzo to Cardi B to Liza Minnelli to Will Smith. So it's some stuff I need to do right now because it's going to be tired in a month. So I'm just getting it out of my system.
And where can we put our complaints?
New York Health Department, Rikers Island Parole Department.
Rikers Island. You wish you were Rikers Island, bitch. If you were to go to Rikers Island, bitch, you'll have to shut the place down. The amount of fucking disease you'll be spreading around Rikers. What? Busting that pussy open.
Oh, please, honey. I mean, it's 3 square meals a day and room and board. It doesn't sound that bad. From where I am right now. But then I will be bringing that show to San Diego on April 28th and DJing on the 30th to LA to the Catalina Jazz Club on May 1st. So Buns headed out west and going to do Pride in San Diego at Urban Moe's. And here.
Urban Moe's.
Yeah, Urban Moe's. So.
Work.
And I don't know if we're going to talk about any topics, but this is probably good enough for me. Do you want to talk about shit?
I think so. Well, I just have one more question. What do you plan on? I mean, I know it is. Do you smoke or do more cannabis on 420 because it's a holiday, or are you just doing your normal thing?
Well, I went to the recording studio and I did not have any. That was at noon. And I wanted to celebrate because I saw other people before Feces Book banned me for trying to claim I'm selling drugs. And I didn't want to get stoned and fuck up the recording session because I pay by the hour. And it's just bits and pieces from my app. So
you didn't want to get stoned for your session?
I didn't
want to
get stoned for the session because then the guy's computer crashed. So I ran right home and I got my booster yesterday and none of the other shots made me feel a little down, but this one, you know, I got the slight mild flu-ish, low energy, sore arm.
Your session went.
His computer crashed. So I said, girl, you were meant to get stoned today. And the only other thing you have to do is talk to that Bish Monet. So anyway, it worked out fine. I didn't mind having a little rest.
Must be nice.
I've got allergies too, so I don't even know where I am most of the time until May is late May.
Wait, do you singing with allergies is the worst?
Oh, girl, I have there's this one note that I have to actually kind of stretch my throat up to sing out, and I just give it what I've got, and sometimes. Actually, every time it's worked in this show. But sometimes when I was in England, the end of that one note was like, but whatever, honey. I'm comedy. I'm comedy, girl.
Bunny, should I, you know what? Maybe I should pay you to write a show for me.
Well, we could work on it. Might be fun.
I would love that. You're so funny.
Well, I'm doing my little Cardi B and Megan Thee Stallion tribute. Dandruff on my feet from this dry ass pussy. Hair like shredded wheat on this dry ass pussy. Macaroni in a box. That's some dry ass pussy.
Are you going to do your part and flotillas?
Yes, because I am a true cultural appropriator. Where I will ask a person of color to do a video with me and then rip off the line she wrote and not even invite her to the show. No, I'm kidding. Of course I'm inviting her.
Damn. Flotilla DeBarge.
The Empress of Large.
All right, Lady, but I think we've done it. I hope you have a good 420.
I'm great.
I will have one as well. You want to say bye to my cat?
Is that a new one?
I mean,
is that a new one?
No, she just has hair.
That's your old cat that used to have no hair? You were shaving it?
No. Colleen, say bye.
That sounds like a monkey. I heard a cat say, what the fuck is that? One day hair, one day none, one day sound like a monkey, one day.
Oh my God, and look what she left on my station, a banana. Oh my God, I have a monkey.
Okay. All right, well, you take care and we'll talk next week.
All right, girl.
A podcast network.